about her ministry with Broward Youth for Christ. Kristen's a member of our church, and so it's been kind of a neat weekend. We've been seeing what God's doing right here in our own backyard, and then also around the world as with Stella. But Kristen, please share with us just a little bit.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Kristen North, and I'm a local missionary supported by my home church. I've been in missions with Youth for Christ in Miami for 22 years, but last year, something horrible happened up here in Broward with the Parkland shooting a year and a half ago now, and that gave us the desire to not just reach out in Miami, but we needed to come here. I couldn't help thinking about when at Parkland that day at Marjory Stoneman, when everything fell apart around them, did they have someone in the faith-based community to call? Did they already have a relationship with a church? What do they do? So I am now the ministries director of Fort Lauderdale Youth for Christ, and I was given the task this year of starting up three of our campus-based ministries in public schools, putting together a part-time director for each school, pulling together volunteers, and a church for each school to adopt that school. So that school knows who to call, where to go when something happens. And I'm so pleased to say that we have now gotten permission to be in 7 schools. We're starting September 11th at South Plantation High School. We're going to meet every Wednesday during lunch at both lunches. And we specifically, strategically target those kids who are isolated and not connected. Kids that won't go to other clubs, that don't take advantage of the school services. We specifically go after them, and that's why we have a part-time director on each campus, so that they are there throughout the week, getting to know students, finding out where they are, and building a relationship with them. We start with super fun club. It doesn't look faith-based. It's just really fun to catch every student. And from there, we have adult mentors who are building relationships to go deeper. We next offer Bible studies, we offer connection points to the church, and we continue and we stay in their lives with them throughout high school. So thank you so much for your support. I really appreciate it. And if you have any questions, specifically something like, how is it different than First Priority? Come see me in the back. I'll tell you all about it. Thank you.
At this time, I'd like to invite Stella to come forward. And Debbie, if you want to come forward and just say hi real quick too, you're welcome to. Otherwise, just Stella, either way. But we're so glad to have both of you here with us this morning.
Well, I'm going to just say my little piece first, and she can carry on with the message. We're so thrilled to be here. We had a lovely, just an amazing time last night. And my part in it, I put a display together out in the back because there's so much to tell, and we didn't have time for her to speak what she was going to speak, plus show a slideshow. So please go out to the back there. The Lord has what you're talking about sewing. That whole board there shows from 1954, starting that pioneer sewing, when it was just really bush work. And then building the Bible school in Zimbabwe and having pastors grow and then multiply until 1980, the Lord took Mom and Dad out of Zimbabwe. They had sowed seed there, and he just threw them out into the rest of the world to preach on early morning prayer and to sow seeds there and to get people to come to really having a reality in prayer in the morning. And then from there, those seeds started to grow. And as Mom is now, no, she's not physically overseas right now, but her ministry presently is to sow. She's constantly sowing finances. And what God is doing, there is just such an amazing harvest that is being reaped in very desperate conditions. I mean, it's tough. Zimbabwe, we were just saying this morning, 95% unemployment. How do you live in that? How do you minister in that? And our other sower in India lives in the slums of Dharavi, two-thirds the size of Central Park, 11 million people. How do you minister in that? And yet God is producing great harvest. And so we just want to say to you, and I, you know, just say it on behalf of Mom, because she's always telling me about you people. And she said, the plantation congregation have been such a blessing. And I just want to say thank you on behalf of my mom. I honor this woman for 65 years of ministry and staying strong. If she could just head overseas, she'd be there tomorrow.
Yes, I would.
And I have to hold her back a little bit. But I just want to say thank you so much. But please, please go back there and look at it. You know, at 86 years old, you know, I have to keep up with her. So Lord bless you and thank you so much.
Just mention the, if they want to receive our...
There's a sign up for a newsletter.
Thank you.
On
Pastor
the back, you'll find there's an overview right in the middle, a complete overview of all the ministry. And then there's some past newsletters, two from Zimbabwe, two from India, that give a lot of information. I always say, if you know about the situation, you pray so much better.
Yes.
So we just thank you so much for your prayers. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Ray. Thank you very much, you and your family. Thank you for the dinner last night. What wonderful fellowship we had together and wonderful food. It was so lovely to feel your response as we were speaking. We had a lot of laughter, didn't we? And had a lot of fun, too. And as Pastor Ray says, come to those mission dinners because you hear a lot more. We confine ourselves here because you have two services. And I'm going to have to speak very quickly today because I've got too much to say. And I have whittled it down. So excuse me if I do some reading because you read quicker than you speak. And you speak and you go off on tangents. Okay? And too many stories. Lord, we just give this to you tonight, today. We thank you for every person that is in this church today. Thank you for Pastor Ray and Rosie, the family, and that they have blessed our ministry like no other church in the United States of America. And we give you glory for that. It shows us the love and the desire they have to see the harvest taking place. In Jesus' name, amen. My message is one that's the most vital to me on the mission field since I started. I was saved as a little girl of 5 years old, and my father and my mother taught me, never have fear. Faith, because we were all Christians, faith in God will see you through your life, whatever you do, wherever you are. So the message is, have faith. And do not fear. And I'm going to go into that. Many Christians have a desire to minister locally and overseas. Satan tries to put barriers to stop them from following God's calling. Many of you here have had desires to go to a mission field. I hear you. You say it to me. And it never happened. Satan tries to put some form of fear in your path so that you will not have the faith to step into what God has planned for you. 2 Timothy 2:1-6. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And those 3 points are vital to missionaries. Now, my husband received so many invitations all over the world. We actually went to 70 countries, and he couldn't fulfill them. So we went to the Lord. It was a need. We went to the Lord and asked him, what should we do? And the Lord said, Stella, you go with your husband. So we were as a team of two going all over the world. And my parents were very thrilled when I met Bob Bosworth because he was a very unusual young man. And I won't talk any, I'll talk all morning about him if I don't go on. So the preparation for future ministry started with the difficulties in Zimbabwe that you've got to overcome. No food, no water, millions dying on the street. Everything was very hard, and yet thousands of souls were saved through all the difficulties. The Lord taught us how to be flexible, to adapt to circumstances and conditions wherever he would choose to send us in the world. Philippians 4:11 says, for I have learned to be content in whatsoever state I am in. No complaints, everything's right. That is a very, very good thing. So we went to the 70 countries, and I won't tell you the mode of travel because that'll take a long time. How do we get from place to place? And somebody said, what do you do about a bed? Where are you going to sleep? I said, that's the least of our problems. Anywhere you are in the world, there is somewhere to sleep. There's the floor or is the ground outside. Never think, I have to have a bed and I have to have this. The food, sometimes there wasn't food. Amazing. God took our hunger away when there was no food. We didn't want food. We didn't eat food. And we kept going at the same pace until there was food again. And we were content in whatever state we were in. Water was the biggest problem all over the world. We need to have water. You know that, don't you? And so the walking, the fatigue, no car, everything worked according to God's will. We went to 17 different churches on a Sunday. Now, if you think of that, the logistics are horrendous. How he and I had to get, I was on the back of motorcycles, but you have to do these. We divided the churches. Oh, how glorious, how wonderful. In Bangalore, in India, we had 50 services in 1 week. And only the Lord could do that. Because, as I say, physically, you're just going all the time. But the excitement and the hunger of the people is what drew you to these places. And it was no effort for us physically or spiritually. We knew we were where God wanted us. Now, in Zimbabwe in the early years, we did pioneer work. We called pioneer missionaries. We'd go into the bush where there was no housing, nowhere for us to live. But my husband bought a small tent. And it was lovely, and I'll tell you why. It had a plastic bottom, and it was small. We couldn't stand up. My husband's a tall man. We couldn't stand in the tent. We had to sit in the tent. We had a big thing of water with us because the river next to us was absolutely dry. And we'd have to bathe in the tent. And what is the wonderful thing that that tent had? Can you guess? A zipper. A zipper forever. I'm thankful for zippers. You know why? Because it kept out the snakes. We had a lot of snakes even in the house. Huge snakes. Giant scorpions. Not little teeny weeny. It kept out the rats and the flies and the mosquitoes. Zip. Daytime in there, nighttime in there. We could have a good night's rest. We had two little pallets, and that's all we needed, and our clothing. And so God blessed us with that tent. I'll never forget it. We went through a 16-year terrorist war, which I will not tell you what it was like. It's said to be one of the worst wars ever in a country. Why? Because of the torture before you die. And I can't go into that. Some of you won't be able to take it. I thought I'd tell you one instance, and I thought, no, that would be too heavy. They torture you before you die. They inflict as much pain as they can upon your body before you die. And here I was, raised with no fear, teenage years throughout fear, and then into marrying my husband, Bob. This American young man had no fear of anything, and he lived in good circumstances in the States, but he was a missionary from day one. And fear gripped me terribly. I was not afraid of death. Are you afraid of death? What is death to a Christian? I said to them last night, you close your eyes on earth and you open them in heaven. What a glorious experience. I look forward to it. Well, you say you're older, that's why. No, I've always looked forward to the day when the Lord will take me home, because it'll be so very, very wonderful. So I was not afraid of death, ever, but I was terrified of torture before death. They take an eye out, they do this, they do that. So the Lord took me immediately. He didn't let me linger in that fear. Isn't he gracious? He didn't let me linger years. He took me to Philippians 1:20. Very simple message. God shall be magnified in my body, Stella, this body of Stella. He will be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And that settled all fear. If I live, praise the Lord. If I die, praise the Lord. I took all fear away. God, your will be done. And we could go places and tell you things that I can't mention even this morning. My husband was chased for 8 miles by the terrorist. Praise the Lord, he came through it. Then he put up his tent. I told you last night he loved his big tents. And the people flooded the tent. 5,000 could get into the tent. But in the meantime, the terrorists were very, very, very angry because they said they must come to our political meetings. We don't want them to come into the tent. They tried to put the tent on fire and break down the generator, and it was very, very dangerous. But my husband, the Lord, told him to put up the tent. And they said, take the tent down, and they threatened him. And he says, I will not take the tent down. And he didn't, and it lasted for a long time with thousands of people saved. If he'd taken his tent down, many people would have not given their lives to Christ. So one evening he had to go and see the pastor near the river, and he talked to him, and a little African boy came running to him and said, Mfundisi, that means pastor, but he was whispering. And he said, please be careful, the terrorists have come in, and they're all behind the tent. They have kicked one man to death, and they've taken another man's eyes out, and please, they're torturing the people. Be careful. Now, Bob had to get from that point to the tent, and the terrorists were between him. And in an instant, he knew what to do. He looked down and saw a place where they'd made a fire where they cook, and he took the black soot and rubbed it on his face, rubbed the black soot, and put his hat on, and he put his hands in his pockets, and he walked right through those. No fear at all. And he's speaking the language, greeting them. And they say, greeting him too. And they didn't know there's a man of God walking right in amongst them. And he got to the tent and had the meeting. But how God took fear out of our lives, and the minute the fear is gone, the faith is there. I mean, 100% faith, not I hope so, Lord, but tremendous faith. And of course, when you have faith, the people you are teaching have faith, because they're afraid to die too. They're also afraid of being tortured. But the Lord blessed us so much in those. Bob's mother passed away, and in Miami, that's where Bob was born, Miami. And the four of us couldn't go. We didn't have finance for the airfare, so Bob went on his own. And this was during the terrorist war. And the Lord told me, you do the mission work. And I took over Bob's old jeep. And my girls were not afraid. And we went to Sunday school through the rivers and up to get a group of children together to teach. And that was such a delight to me. And around us were many children who said, if you ask mother and father, if you can come with madam to Sunday school, then we'll take you. If you've not asked and you're not at the house, I think, where's my child? Dozens of children gone. So they asked, and only those who got permission jumped in the jeep, so excited and singing. They'd never been in a jeep before. And we got to our destination, and something happened. I was taking the little ones out of the jeep, and suddenly we heard this loud noise. I mean, you couldn't speak. It was shouting and screaming in anger, and in through the gates came... I'm a good judge of crowds because of the tents. About 1,000 terrorists were converging on us. Very, very, very angry. I had my little interpreter with me, and he looked at me and said, madam? I said, yeah. He says, today we die. I said, today we do not die. I didn't even look at him. I said, today we do not die. And they kept converging. I kept taking the children out, and... a man suddenly shouted very, very loudly and said, don't touch her. And everything got dead quiet. God sent that man to help save my life. Do you realize that? It's not coincidence. God put that man. And he said something that was so profound. He couldn't have said anything better. He says, she is the grandmother for all those children. And a grandmother, the chief is the highest, and then is the matriarch, the grandmother. And when they heard that I was the grandmother for the little black children and my two girls, they were so ashamed. They turned around like puppy dogs with their tails between their legs, and this crowd of men walked out totally ashamed. And when they're ashamed, they do this, what have we done? And out they walked. And nobody ever, Bob was gone 11 months, nobody ever bothered us again. No terrorist ever bothered any of us. And none of us were ever hurt by a terrorist, even though we were living and working among them. I just wanted you to know that when you have faith and no fear, you don't even worry, is there a terrorist in the area? Now, I'm cutting out a lot of things here. In Thailand, I'm talking about preparation for ministry. In Thailand, it was quite nice to be there. We went into the inner part of Thailand, not the towns, and lived in bamboo houses. And I wanted to bathe. I said, do you have a bathroom where I could bathe, please? And they said, oh, yes, come inside of the house. There was a big basin and a little scoop. And I always wore the long, lovely skirts that they do in Thailand, elastic. And they said, yes, this is what you must do. So I followed, and I took my skirt and put it in my mouth. Put it in my mouth, and there was a little scoop, and then I soak myself, and then you put your hands under the skirt and you bathe yourself. That's lovely. And then you come back, and again you put the skirt in your mouth, and you rinse yourself. Rinse yourself. And at that time, Bob was coming from where he had bathed with a buffalo in dirty, filthy water. He came around the corner because there was the people in the street right next to me, and they sang, hello, hello, hello. And Bob shouted, don't say hello. You know why? Because my skirt would drop if I said hello. So those were fun things, but I had a bath. God provided for me. Oh, I am watching. I'm watching my time. Okay. Sorry? 10 minutes. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, it can't be. Well, then I'll have to go very much. I'll take out a lot of this then. A very quickie. We never lived in hotels. We didn't have the money for it, and we are very frugal personally on ourselves. But we were walking down a road in India, and we saw this little hotel, and two of us kind of smiled and said, wouldn't it be nice to live in the hotel and in a proper bed tonight? We went in, and it was a Muslim hotel, and they said, yes, we have a room, and they took us to the room, and there was a double bed, there was a cupboard, there was a red carpet on the floor in India. And we thought, oh, yes. So we hurried because our meetings always started at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I hurried and got our clothes, I prepared them, we put them in the cupboard, and we jumped into bed. And, oh, we slept. We slept. And when we woke up in the morning, we were shocked and we laughed hilariously because as we came out of bed, it was full of cockroaches. Some were dead, of course, we had killed them, and some were still alive walking around, and we didn't know it. We were out for the count, and they were out for the count. They were dead. So we went to the cupboard quickly to get dressed. I opened the cupboard doors. Bob took his clothes. They were covered in cockroaches. And so we had to shake the cockroaches off and put the clothes on because we had to leave. And then we told the manager, the Muslim man, we said, your place is full of cockroaches. And he says, oh, no. And so he comes with a flit. And he is trying to kill the cockroaches. He was a Muslim, thank the Lord for that. Because if he was a Hindu, they believe in reincarnation. And you cannot kill a rat or a mouse or a mosquito because that might be grandma that's come into another life. So we were bitten by things, terrible things in India, but you have to go with the flow. But thank the Lord. And then I am so inquisitive that before we left, I lifted that beautiful red carpet, and oh, it was the breeding field for the cockroaches. Thousands. That's where the cockroaches came from, and they didn't know it. Okay, that's just about a little story to make you laugh a little bit. Now, how did it affect us emotionally in all of this? I'm giving conditions and dangers missionally. We were shocked to see that they're born on the street and they die on the street, and there's millions of them on the streets. And that really was emotional for me. I had to get used to the culture because the loud music, the day and night, thousands in the street, loud voices, shift workers working at night. The streets were as full at night as they were in the daytime. And the constant honking of horns in India with the three-wheelers that we used. And the sound. I like loud. I like loud singing and loud talking, but constantly, day and night, we couldn't sleep. For Bob and I to speak in that room, we had to close the windows to hear each other's voices. So loud was the noise. And that got me emotionally. And I had to walk to my 5 o'clock prayer meetings, and I would pass hundreds of people lying in the street, and that was all over. You had to get used to that, and some might have been near death or something. And in India, the rats are this size, the street rats, and they're running all over the show. And I saw something, the people didn't even know I was there. I saw the rats eating their noses and eating their toes, looking for food, and the people were nobody woke up. But emotionally, that really got me, that a human being had to suffer like this. And I found out it's spiritually, let me go on to that. We had to be in total dependence on God, on our Lord. Every day, you had to put on the full armor. Have you noticed that there's no armor for the back? No armor afforded for the back? Because you never turn your back on Satan. You might get a shot in the butt, you know, if you do. But face. Face. So every day the Lord gave us faith and love and confidence and a peace and joy. We were always so happy, and boldness. And we found out that Satan's weapons of stress, fear, and anxiety could destroy our God-given ministry. Do not be intimidated by Satan, ever. If you have any fear in your life, if you sit here thinking, what fear do I have? Do not let Satan intimidate you. He says, oh, you have no power. You have no compassion. You're always afraid. You're even too afraid to lead a soul to the Lord. And you wonder at that in this country of affluency. What are you scared of? And many people don't lead souls to the Lord. They said, I'm shy, I'm afraid. That's Satan talking. Because if you're a Christian, you are bold enough to go out and counter what Satan is doing in this work. Don't let him ever accuse you. And never say, what if? What if this should happen? This should happen? What if is too dangerous, dangerous words? What if we don't have food? What if we don't know? Those are Satan's words. Because you worry about it. And you know, you worried about things that will never happen to you in your life. You say, what if? And you ruin your life. You never reach the full potential of your life because you're afraid of this, that, and the other. So think of that. If there's any fear, if you remember anything I say today, don't harbor fear in your heart, because fear is from Satan, faith is from God, and the two should not mix in the life of a Christian. So let's go. My word, how much time? I can go on a little bit more. Oh, no. Okay. Complain. Never complain. Never complain. Especially you who learn all this affluency. Never complain. The food's too cold. This is not good. Little feeble little things, you know, that they don't mean anything. It's actually a sign of immaturity. I'll tell you why. Please teach your children from a tiny, tiny age never to complain. Always to say thank you. It does away complaining with God's loving daily provision and faith. Physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, it'll affect you. People have asked me, what about when you go out? Are we going on to the spiritual realm quickly? When you go out, because there are demons all over the world. Are there demons in America? Oh, yes. There are plenty. You're nodding your heads. There are plenty of demons in America and through the whole world. But in African countries, they're very bold and they confront you. My husband would say, can you see that man across the street? I say, yeah. And he is challenging my husband. You can tell by the eyes and the demean challenging, because he knows my husband's a Christian. Wherever you go, the demons are there. And we cast out many, many demons. And yes, they talk to you. and they argue with you, and they shout at you, and you talk back and say, in the name of Jesus, come out, and you don't leave them until they are delivered. And what a change in their lives, a facial change. It's glorious to see a demon-possessed person. I won't even tell you the details of how they were demon-possessed, but the glory of the Lord is on them, and they are so happy and so free. So God gave us faith physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and we won't talk more about the demons, except never have fear, because the blood of Jesus is powerful to remove any demon from any person in any condition. And you have them here. You have them here. You see them. You can see in their faces. They have deliverance. Now I will end. Now, we as Christians, every one of you precious, dear people in this church, now we Christians must stand and be counted. Don't just be one of the congregation. You must stand and be counted. We must work together with unanimity as a powerful counterforce on the offensive with the ability, the knowledge, and the power to do spiritual warfare. All things are possible if you have Jesus Christ in you. You have not reached the potential of your life if there's fear and no faith. Think of what God wants to do through you in this world at this time. All glory to God. All glory to God. Praise him, and I have so much more to say, but thank you for allowing me. Pastor Ray, you're so patient. Thank you so much.